Thank you. Take our Bibles and turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Well, aren't you glad to be in church tonight? I trust that you are. It's always a blessing to be able to come to God's house. I was thinking, you know, this week it reminded me of, I don't know, every now and then I'll reminisce back to my days in West Virginia. And I remember one of the special times in the entire week for me outside of Sunday morning was going to church on Sunday night. I love going to church on Sunday night. We always had, one of the things that our church did a lot, we don't do it a lot around here, but our church did a lot, we had testimony time. They used to call it testifying. And you guys don't know what that is, you know. But yeah, anybody want to testify tonight? And man, they'd stand up and start talking about what God's doing in their life and all of that. You know what? I can't help but believe that some of those testimonies are the reasons why I'm standing before you tonight. Because I believe that when God began to work in people's hearts and lives, that I said, you know what? If God does that for them, I want God to do that for me. You know, I was really thrilled that Walito and Brother Abelos won Nico to the Lord last Monday night. He made it public. Wasn't that a blessing? You know, it's just exciting for me to see how the people are just serving in the ministry and just being faithful, and God's using them. You know, and you know, that's the marvelous thing about going to church on Sunday night. You hear about what God's doing in the church. You hear about what God's doing in people's hearts and life. And you know, it's just amazing to me. And we're going to read in this passage what God has done in the life of the nation of Israel. I guess you might call this a Sunday night message, because that's right where we are. It is a reminder of what God has done. Let's stand as we would, please, out of respect to our Lord as we read His Word. And I do not want that ever to become mechanical. I want that to always be respectful. As we stand before Him tonight, I want us to look at this great passage from the book of Joshua. In fact, I have to admit, if it were my choice and God would let me, I have two books in the Old Testament I'd preach from every week: the Psalms and Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. Now, the next third one would probably be the book of Nehemiah. And I'm very, very tempted so many times to go back to Nehemiah. But we're going to look at Joshua tonight. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1, please, with me. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Now, I got to stop here for just a moment, because I notice in this passage, and I noticed this actually in praying over this afternoon, the Bible said that he prepared these men for this. And I don't know what that is, but I know there has to be prepared men to serve. And that really stood out to me. But look what he says. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in this place where the feet of the priest which bare the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Thank you, and you may be seated. As I was thinking about memorials, reminded me of my wife and I. In 1990, we were privileged to go to Oahu, Hawaii, for an 8-day sort of a getaway time with my family. I don't forget when we went away. We got there and we toured the whole area of Hawaii as best we could within 7 or 8 days, and as limited as we were on cash. But we did the best we could. But of all the things that my wife and I saw and did, I believe the most amazing part of everything we saw was the Arizona Memorial. That is, as many of you know, and some of you young people do not know, but that is the memorial to the ship that was sunk in Pearl Harbor when Japanese attacked. And as we drove up, and I want you to kind of see, can we lower the lights a little bit? If you could see, what they did was that you can see underneath the water so clear, that's the ship underneath. And what they did was they built a memorial over that, and you would take a ship out into the bay, into the harbor, you make your way out, and there you would stop and get out, and you would walk across the ship all the way to the back end. As you drove up, it was a somber type scene. Very sacred. There was like a hush as you drove up. Because literally, when those men died in that ship, they left them in that ship. They did not try to excavate them. They were dead. There was no doubt about it. The ship was sunk. They drowned. As we drove up, it was literally a water graveyard for all of those men. Some of you probably have been there. And I remember as we got out and we walked our way there with me and my wife and made our way to the wall. We were walking next to a lady with her little boy. And we walked up to the wall, and on the wall was the name of all the men who had died in that ship. And I remember one little boy was standing there with his mother, and he turned to his mom and he says, "Mom, what are all these names here for?" He was too young to understand, and I'm sure now he does, but he didn't know in those days. What did that mean? Here we find in this passage, there's a meaning, a spiritual meaning for the nation of Israel. Something great, something fantastic. And the question is this, when the children of Israel ask in the future, when your children ask, what mean these stones? What do they mean? When people walk by and they look at this pile of stones, what do those stones mean? And did you notice something interesting about the stones? They weren't pebbles. They weren't little stones that you picked up and carried in your hand. They were big enough that they had to be carried on the shoulder. Did you notice that? Because as they lifted them out, and by the way, that's service, isn't it? They were willing to bear the stone on the shoulder because it took effort and energy to do that, and they did that as a memorial to God. And tonight, I just want to remind you about some memorials that God has done. I don't want us to forget it. You see, as these children get ready to go off and they go serve in the colleges and the places where God wants them and others, as we're kind of regrouping now for the fall, many have been on vacation, there's still a few out, but as we come back together, I want us to remember why we do what we do. What is this all about? I mean, really, why do we meet on a Sunday night? And, I mean, you know, does the Bible say we should meet on Sunday night? Why do we sing the songs that we sing? And why do we do the Lord's Supper? And why are we doing all these? Well, I'm not going to give you all the specifics of all that, but I'm going to give you an understanding of what these stones mean here. They have very powerful and significant meanings, spiritual meanings. Well, tonight, we are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other God but Him. There is no other reason to seek any other God but Him because of who He is. He's real tonight, as we say. What He's done in our lives is real. And what we have seen God do in the lives of many people is real tonight. I mean, we're sincere about this. So when we talk about what mean these stones, we're talking about great memorials, not to a group of people in the past, not to some, you know, some philosophy or doctrine, but to God. By the way, tonight, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. He's the only one that deserves it. We do it all for Him. We do not do this for ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. And if we are, we've missed it already. And I'm going to tell you, there's no people that are any more miserable than the people who do everything that only pleases themselves. They live for themselves. Because let me tell you, before you know it, the next generation is just around the corner. My wife and I, this year, we're going to hit that special mark. It's called Senior Citizen Mark. In fact, it's an odd thing. Well, she's going to hit it before I am. Please forgive me. It's going to be a blessing. Amen. Denny's, we're ordering off the senior menu. Amen. It'll have its privileges. And when I'm driving up the road a little fast and the police look at me and say, he's a senior citizen, forget it. But what I was thinking this week as God was working in my heart, and a lot of the messages that I preach is, they come out of my heart first. God works in my heart before you ever hear it. And it should be that way. Amen, church? Look, I'm going to tell you, you need to understand, your pastor spends time in preparing these messages. These don't just fall out of the sky. There's times that we spend together. And sometimes God puts me through things so that I can teach others. And here I was thinking this week about this. I was thinking, you know, where did it start that somewhere along the way in my own personal life, and I'm going to get to the Bible here, just stay with me a minute. Where did it become in my personal life that I went from being a young man to a senior citizen? Where did it start? I don't get it. But I will tell you this, time has flown by. And what we do for God, we better do it today. And what He is saying in this passage is, one day, there's going to be some morals that need to be left behind. I'm going to be very honest with you, I'm very concerned about the condition of churches in America right now. I'm not sure what's going to be left behind when our generation passes on. But I want to give you some thoughts very quickly, if you will, and I know that our time is a little bit short, and I will not keep you all night. I know we have a meeting afterwards, and I know Brother Marshall will really help us with some of that. Probably scare you to death, but he's going to help you. But I want to call your attention to four very quick memorials and what these mean. When we look down the road, what are they going to mean? What do these stones mean? Well, let me suggest, number one, it means God's provision. Do you realize that God provides every one of our needs? We have the present provision that God has given us salvation. Thank God I'm saved tonight. Thank God there was a time in my life when I called on Him and He saved me and He was willing to give me everything I need. And I want to tell you this, tonight we need to have a witness to our children of salvation. Someone asked me one time, do you think a child can be saved at 4 years of age? I want to tell you, yes they can. You say, how can that be? If in that home there's a witness to salvation, they can be saved as young as 4 years old. Can they be saved at 5 years old? Absolutely. How about 10 years old? Absolutely. If we didn't believe that, we would cancel all children's ministries. You see, the memorial, the reason why we do that is because we know that God provides salvation and God meets our present needs. We believe that tonight. We know that when the Bible said that, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He wasn't just simply saying that to the Philippians. He was saying that to everybody, that God is well able to provide and meet our needs. And our children need to understand that God can take care of every one of our needs. And when these children ask about these stones that are here, and they want to know, what do these stones mean? What he simply says, what do you mean by these stones? When he said, Dad, what do these stones mean? He says, it means that God provides. But then it speaks of a future provision. So God presently provides, but what does he provide in the future? Well, on the journey, they're going to come in trials in their life. In this case, we know that back in chapter 3, God had dried up the Jordan River and they crossed on dry ground. It showed them that whenever they faced trials, whenever they faced hardships, whenever they faced difficulties, that God is well able to take care of them. And I want to tell you this, look, church, tonight we are going to face more difficulties as a church. You know, it seems like you kind of get out of one difficulty and you go right into another one. But we're going to face it as a church. It's not over yet. And I think sometimes people say, you know, when a church has hard times, there must be something wrong. No, sometimes there's something very right in a church. We are going to go through more times, difficult times. But I want to tell you this. The key is, man, just bearing down and staying with it and saying, God, help us through those days. Israel been through some great times, difficult times. But what I'm concerned about, quite frankly, is the condition of spiritual people, of people today who make up the church, their spiritual condition, because I think when hard times come, people like to just bail out. But God is concerned about the next generation knowing Him. One man said this, the church is only one generation away from extinction. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? We're only one generation away. That means that literally if we're not training and raising up young people that will take over and follow in our footsteps, guess what's going to happen? There's no church. Now, we believe that God is well able to raise up some leaders. Amen. But we do understand that we have a responsibility to point them to the memorial that God is the provider. And I know that the God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I understand that. But I just want you to know that from a practical standpoint, that we need to do our part in contributing to the work of God in ministry. I want to point young people to the provision of God, because some of these young people might say, you know, I don't know if God can provide. You know, we're so programmed by a society that says, you know, the economy's got to be up before we can do anything. You know what? We have a God that's bigger than the economy. Yes, I think the church needs wisdom. Yes, I think the church needs to exercise wisdom. We're cutting out every debt we can. We're not going into debt. We're building the parking lot by faith and by prayer and by sacrifice and by giving and doing the best we can. You know, if we could borrow $75,000 or $100,000 and we could afford to pay it back, you know, we possibly could do that, but we're not going to do that. We're going to trust God to provide that. I'm going to tell you, when we open that parking lot, it's going to be completely paid for. Amen. And we're going to trust God with it. It may take 5 more years, but we're going to keep doing it for God. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's just the way it works. And when kids are going to say, what does this post mean? What does this all mean? That means that God provides. God is a great provider. In Exodus chapter 13, it shall be for a sign upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. See, again, a reminder of how powerful God is. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, and these things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. What is exciting for me is that I was looking at all 7 of these young people, and there are others, don't get me wrong. I know there's others that are serving, and they're around. In fact, they're probably serving somewhere else. And how that they're serving, but guess what they're doing? They're teaching their children, the children that are there. We're passing it down. We taught them, they're telling others. That's how it works. We talk about memorials. We're talking about number one is we want everyone to understand that God provides. And Israel was saying, Dad, Mom, what do these stones mean when their children walk up and he says, that means that God provides. I'm going to tell you this. If someone is convinced that God provides, they have no problem in tithing. They have no problem in tithing. I think the reason why sometimes, quite frankly, people aren't tithing is because they don't believe that God can provide. Here's what they think. They think, well, God give them salvation, and God kind of can protect them, but to give me my money, no, I got to take care of that. You got it all wrong. Can I tell you this? God can take your money away just like that if he wants to. And I'm not trying to scare you tonight at all, because I'm your pastor. I love you. I'm simply saying this. We need to be faithful in our giving to God. Amen and amen. Don't you cheat God. And if you think God doesn't know, he does know. God knows exactly how much you give. He knows exactly how much you have. He knows how much you're going to have next year, 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years, or until he calls you home. He knows exactly how much you need. And what God is saying is, you need to trust me. I can provide. And by the way, what we live before these young people and those of the next generation, that's what they will learn to do. So he says the memorial number one is that God provides. Write down number two, point number two, and I must hurry. It means God's power. I believe that God's all powerful. How about you? We go back to verse 23. The Bible says in this chapter, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which dried up before us until we were going over. Guess what? They saw the Red Sea crossing, and now they're seeing Jordan River. They said, hey, God can do it in Red Sea. God can do it in Jordan River. And when your children ask, you say, your parents saw God do some amazing, miraculous things because God's all-powerful. You are living in a miracle. If you've been saved, you're living a miracle. You're sitting in a miracle. This building is a miracle to the glory of God. And I can tell you that. I don't have time to retrace it all, but I'll tell you, God has done an amazing thing in providing this building for us as a church. To God be the glory, great things he's done. Because he's all-powerful. And we believe that tonight, and we're convinced of that because we know that what God can do. And I just want to call your attention to a couple quick things. Number one is God rescues us when the waters are over flood, over the banks in flood stage, as they were with Jordan River. I mean, no doubt about it, that's exactly what he did. He performed a miracle before their eyes. He gave them the opportunity to see that, hey, God's will is that they go into the promised land. And God led them there. Now God wanted to show them a miracle. He wanted to show them how powerful he was. I was thinking last year about this time when we were looking at our budget. we literally spent the entire summer. Well, we spent a lot of time this summer too, but last summer as a staff and with the deacons, we all worked together on this. But I'll tell you something, we worked together and we brought the stuff to the deacons and they looked it over. We literally worked on that budget all summer. And you know, I looked at it and think, man, you know, we have a $35,000 debt. I don't know about you, but man, I don't want $35,000 debt. I don't want 35-cent debt. Amen. That was something we were facing. And we didn't know what God was going to do. But you know, a year from now, look, we got $5,000. Thank God for the $30,000 that got paid. Amen? Amen. Look, man, I'll tell you, God did some amazing, and I'm sitting back like, what? Thank God. He's all powerful. He rescued us. And I feel bad because I hear of a lot of ministries are going under, literally going under, literally going under. And I'm just thankful to God, and I'm not saying we're unique. I'm just, you know, to God be the glory. All I can say is, you know, we're humbled by the fact that God has allowed us to be able to do that. And it's not because of me or Joe Shepherd or anybody else. It's just because we prayed, we sacrificed, we pulled together, we begged God, and we were very careful. We didn't do anything out of the way. We just were careful. And God provided. Amen and amen. He rescued us. And he rescued the children of Israel. And the Bible said that God not only rescues, but he delivers. I was thinking of all the people that God has delivered from a lot of problems. You realize that God's able to deliver us from our troubles and problems? He's able to deliver the alcoholic, the drug addict, the pornographer, the cigarette smoker. He's able to deliver them. You know, when I was back in July, back at as I told you guys about going to the Reformers Unanimous Homes, man, I was just so amazed at how God was working in that place. And they took me to the men's home, and I went upstairs and went to the third floor, and I was standing next to these two guys, and I'm telling you, that guy's one of the biggest guys. He was about, oh, I don't know, what was he, 6'9"? He looked like he's about 12 feet. Big guy. And I'm thinking, he's probably addicted to fighting or something. You know, I don't know what, you know. Didn't ask him. But they introduced me as, you know, this is Pastor Rick Sosa from California. This guy comes over to me and goes, good to meet you, Pastor. And I was thinking, you know, no matter how big they are, how strong they may look, you know what? Every one of us get in trouble. And he was talking about the fact that God delivered him out of a lot of problems since he's been there. That's because it's to God be the glory. You know the success rate at Reformers Unanimous is about, what was it, like 78 or 82% or something like that? Some high percentage. Even AA doesn't have that kind of percentage. That's because God's working in that place. So we notice here that God is able to do that. And what we see is we see memorials to those things, because in this room tonight, there's some memorials to those whom God has done something like that in your life. And I just want our children to know that down the road, if they get in trouble, that they have a God they can go to who's all-powerful, able to deliver them just like he's able to deliver us. Amen? Don't you think so? I mean, I want him to be able to know that whatever happens, you know, that we all mess up and that we all can have problems, we can all have difficulty, we can all get in trouble, but we have a God that's all-powerful and able to deliver us. And I don't think we should hold back in sharing what, you know, what difficulties that we have. I know there's a sense of privacy, and I understand that, but you know what? Sometimes we need to help out other people who are going through troubles too, to know that God's well able. He's helped me, can help them. There's a third meaning to these stones. I want you to notice it means God's program, verse number 22. God has a program. And I use that in the sense that God is working in their life as a nation. Let me ask you a question before we look at this verse 22. Let me ask you this. Do you think God knew that the waters were going to be at flood stage when Israel arrived there? You think he knew that before they got there? I think he knew that. It's the flood stage. Now I got to do something. I don't think so at all. Sometimes I think that's how we think God does, you know. God led me this way, and they're like, oh no, God, you know, well, how am I going to get through this? Did you forget about that? And the Lord said, no, I want to teach you something. As we said in West Virginia, I'm going to learn you something. Something you got to learn. You got to learn what God wants to do in your life. And I believe that God had a great lesson for them, and he was going to lead them. And if you write this, just a couple of quick things, he led them to the Jordan River. Now, if it were me and I was leading, I would not take them to the Jordan River, certainly not at flood stage. I would probably take them after there'd been like 6 month drought. Because to me, it'd been easier to get them across, right? Hey, I'm a human. I want it easy. God didn't work like that. God decided he was going to lead them to the Jordan River. He wanted them there. It's a place of appointment. And I'm going to tell you this, that God never leads you to a place that's contrary to his will. He never does. God's always going to lead you in his path where his will is, if you walk with him. And you may think, well, you know, I don't know how I'm ever going to get across that. I don't know how I'm going to get over that. Well, that's, first of all, you got to know God led you there. And then second of all, you got to know that God will lead you over Jordan. Because if he leads you to that place, and that's God's will for your life, and that's where Israel is supposed to be, then God is going to lead you over Jordan somehow. You say, what is God going to have to do? Well, I will tell you this. Here's what God does. God performs a great miracle, and he eliminates the obstacles once we come to the place where he is, where God wants us. And I'm going to tell you this. When we lack faith, we'll go backwards. And I don't know this for sure, and I've read this story literally hundreds of times. I don't know, but I do believe, knowing human nature, I believe there are probably some that went and left because they didn't want to face the trial. They didn't want to see the miracle because they didn't think it was going to happen. And I wonder how many people have done that in their Christian life, is that God led them to a place that seemingly was so large and so huge that they didn't know how they're going to get over it. And God had a plan. God was trying to do something in their life. And God was working this out. And you know what they did? It's too big. I'm going back. And they go right back into the world. I wonder how many people have done that. But thank God there are some that stayed and got through it. Look, I'm going to tell you this. There's great temptations to want to go back. Israel, always were talking about the leeks and the garlics that was back there in Egypt. Well, if I can go back there, I'm tired of eating this manna. Give me back to Egypt. They had some good food back there. Loved their buffet. That Egyptian buffet is fantastic. They had garlics from Gilroy. They had Vidalia onions there. You can beat that. I want to go back there. They had ramps from West Virginia. You could not beat it. They all thought that's where they're supposed to go. I want to tell you something, folks. Tonight, there are going to be times you're going to come to Jordan Rivers in your life, and you're going to want to return and go back, and then you're going to miss what God's going to do. These are memorials. These students, they don't know what they're going to face when they go to college this fall. You don't know what you're going to face when you go wherever God leads you to go either. None of us know that. But I can tell you this. We're standing here today as a memorial to the fact of what God can do in someone's life. Amen. You go back and you read Joshua chapter 4. God said, these stones mean that that God is able to provide and that God is all-powerful, that God has a program. And then lastly, let me give it to you very quickly, it means God's position. You might say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 24. Now, this, in my mind, as I study this passage out, this is the key. Look at verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know what God says? You know what, Israel? The reason why I put you here, because I want everybody in the whole world to know that I'm all powerful. And that you'll fear God for the rest of your living days into eternity. That's what he says. That's pretty powerful. This means that before the people, he wants them to know Christ. He wants them to know that life without Christ, there is no life. And that God is mighty to save. I love Psalm 135. Here's what it says. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. And thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. These are great memorials. Isaiah chapter 63:1 says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that is glorious in his peril, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. You know what the world needs to know? There's a mighty God that can save. There's a mighty God that can work in my life. There's a mighty God that can save. And then God's position before the priest. God commanded the priest to wear the stones of memorial to the children of Israel. In fact, have you ever thought about this? That we all do have a short-term memory, don't we? We do. Have you thought about this? We forget a lot of things, like where our keys are. We do, don't we? What's really bad is we forget where our kids are. That's really bad. Okay? Some forget where their Bible is, their cell phones. Glasses, yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And you know, we do. We all have a tendency to have a short-term memory. We forget things. But I want to tell you this. It is good that we do forget some things or we might be permanently damaged. But there's some things we should never forget. We should never forget these things. Who God is, what God does, and what God has done in our life. God says you need to erect some memorials. The songs, the service, coming and singing and hearing the preach and being reminded of what God does is so critical. Because God provides, and He will provide. By the way, you know in the parking lot? He'll provide when He chooses to. He'll provide. He'll provide the budget for next year. And if he doesn't, it's his business. He'll provide. God's all powerful. No doubt about it. And when I look at it, I say, man, I'm so glad that God is powerful. I know that he's able to do these things. And I understand that God has a program for my life. And I want to serve God in that place, that program where he puts me. And then I realize that God needs to have a position, and that position is before the entire world that he's mighty to save. You might be shocked to know this, but well, I'm going to give you a compliment. I want to also give you a challenge. Here's the compliment. The other night I was talking to our police chief here in Fairfield. Here's what he said. I was surprised. In a good way. He said, you know, I've been to all the churches in the area. And he said, I've been to most all of them. And he says, you know, your church is the most stable and strong church I've been to in the whole area. That's what he said. And I'm like, really? And that's what he said. But here's the challenge. Keep walking with God.
Amen.
Because here's the question that comes in to me from most people in the community. How's the parking lot coming? How are you doing the parking lot? The mayor asked me. City council members asked me. Chief every now and then asked me. How's the parking lot coming? Here's what I believe. God's able to take care of it. Amen. But I don't really want them to look at the parking lot as like it's a big deal. I want them to look at what God does in our life. That's the big deal. Parking lots are, it's all said and done. Who cares? But what God does in our life, that's what we need to care about. Let's erect some memorials tonight for His honor and for His glory. Heavenly Father,